You guys, I want to take a moment to practice honoring Pastor Matt for sharing his Sundays. Can we give him a round of applause quick? Because it's bold. It's bold to have somebody else come up and lead your congregation. So thank you, Pastor Matt. There's a couple of us. You guys have met Butch and Brad, and there'll be a couple more. But me today. Hi. Good morning. I'm a second service man myself. I don't know anybody in that first service. I was like, please. I wish I saw somebody right there. I just kept making eye contact with them the whole time. That helped a lot. But yeah, if you've never met me, my name is Grant Engeman. I am a 3M engineer. I'm in the mods. If you know where 459 is, I'm training there this week. Swing by and say hi. I'd love to see the family of God at the plant. Like, we're family, right? So when I see you at work, I'm like, bro, like, thank you. A familiar face. Someone else that I'm going to spend eternity with. Like, I'm so glad to see you at work, right? So introduce yourself. At Walmart. I go to Walmart. I shop at Walmart because it's not a Super Target in town. They don't have all the groceries for some reason. But Walmart is actually cheaper anyways, so we'd go there even if we didn't live here. Fun fact. This is my wife Marissa over here. Marissa. She's a nurse at Ridgeview. Like Matt said, we are in the youth group. We do a lot of Wednesday night stuff and whatnot. We love to serve in the youth group. You guys, if you don't serve in the church, it's what you're made for. It's so good. Like, it's so joyful. It's so right. Like, if you like to be with kids, there is a role for you. And if you like to stack papers, I'm sure there is a role for you. Or if you like to push buttons, there is a role for you. Like, serve. Because that's how the body works. That's how it was designed to work, where all of the cells contribute to the health of the other cells. That's why we're called the body of Christ. And it's such a joy. It's such a privilege. It's like exercise. You feel good after you exercise, but you usually don't want to go to the gym. You just got to do it. You just got to sign up. You just got to do it. You guys, I'm going to recap quick what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Matt, Romans 5, went through Adam and Christ. And under Adam, you know, many were made sinners. All were made sinners under Adam. And under Christ, the perfect Adam, the sequel, right? Like, the sequel is actually better than the original. Really crazy idea. Never happens in cinema. But under Jesus, the perfect Adam, many were made righteous. Like, made to become, like, identity change. Now you're righteous when you're saved. You think back to 2 Corinthians 5, and it talks about in verse 17, it says, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come, right? Verse 21 says, he became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's good news. Becoming the righteousness of God, you know? Salvation doesn't just mean, oh, you get to go to church now every Sunday and you have to follow some rules. There's actually an identity change. It's powerful, right? And then Butch came the next week. And Bush is talking about, hey, if you are righteous and that's your identity, realize that the identity of sinner is actually contradictory. Like when I got married, I was no longer a bachelor. I'll promise you that. There was a lifestyle change when I got married because I'm not a bachelor anymore. I'm a husband, right? I actually started eating a lot better. I dress a lot better now. Like, praise the Lord for my wife who loves me a lot and has a feminine touch to my life. but Bush was talking about that. Like, there's one or the other. You're either under the old covenant or you're under the new covenant. It's not both and. And then Pastor Brad came the week after that, and Brad said, hey, just so you realize, if your identity is righteous, then you live out righteousness. Like, that's how it works. Like, I don't know if you guys watch the Nature Channel a whole lot. There's a fun fact about birds. The reason that birds fly is because they are birds. The reason fish swim is because they're fish. Like, they live out their identity, just like us. Like, if you are the righteousness of God, then you get to live that way. At the workplace, you get to wake up in the morning, not like, oh, I can't believe I'm awake right now. You get to wake up and be like, I'm the righteousness of God right now. Come on. Like, it's a mindset shift when your identity shifts. And then there's a behavior shift after that. When I got married, there's definitely a behavior shift. I'm talking a lot about marriage because our passage today is Romans 7, where Paul uses the marriage covenant analogy to talk about salvation. So we'll flip there in a little bit. We are going to go through what's it like to live under the old covenant? What's it like to live under the new covenant? And answering one main question today, who is the better spouse? Like, what's better? What's better for me? Do I want to be under the old? I don't know. Let's find out. Do I want to be under the new? Let's find out. You guys, I encourage you to not just take my word for it either. Like, this is the most printed book in the world. If you don't have one, go to a hotel room in the top drawer. You can get one for free. Like, my name's God. My name's Grant, not God, right? Don't just take my word for what's in this book. Please go home and read it throughout the week because it's your relationship with Jesus, not mine. It's you loving the Lord. I'm not going to love him for you. Like, the preacher is up here not to fulfill a checkbox in your life, but actually to spur you on to love and good works so that you would go and you would live it out and be your identity. So please do that. Please do that every day, actually. I'm going to pray a sin though, you guys. Good morning, Jesus. We love you a lot. You're actually the best thing in the whole world. Like, there's nothing better than you, Lord. We choose you every day. Even when the decision is difficult, we choose you because we're in covenant with you now. We are bound to you. Everything that's mine is yours. Everything that's yours is mine. We love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit inside, would you please open up our hearts so that we could receive what you have in your word this morning? Thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen, you guys. You can go and open your Bibles. If you have a Bible or if you have a phone, you can open it. Or if you like to look at the screen, you can do that. It's up there. Romans 7, verse 1. I'm going to read it from here because I like paper. Because there's like a physical, like a memory thing. Like if you have paper in your hand, then you remember it better. At least I do. But I'm not you. I can't be you. It says, "Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives." And Paul's audience is like, yeah, we know. It doesn't matter if you're dead, right? Verse 2 says, "For example, by law a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him." Key in on the word bound there. Bound, released, binds, like there's a theme happening in the scripture. When you're reading the word, you should like pick out some keywords and be like, oh, that's important, because it's repeated, you know? In scripture, if something's repeated, it's important. And we see the word bound. You think back to Genesis 2, talking about marriage, God says, "For a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be bound, he shall hold fast, he shall cleave to one wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Like that's how marriage covenant is designed. That's how it's supposed to work. That's the mechanics of it, right? Mechanical engineer, I needed something to kind of move my hands about, so I had to think of it that way. But it's a really good thing, right? We love marriage. I love marriage. I'm 3 years newly married. I will one day be 30 years newly married. I'm going to be newly married till I die. I love marriage. Anybody here married? Come on. Anybody in here love marriage? Don't put those hands down. Your wife is here. Be careful. You guys, in the spirit of getting to know each other, I want to show you guys some wedding photos. Is that okay? I brought some wedding photos. Come on, you guys. This is my beautiful parents who actually came today. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. That's May 30th, 2021. I celebrate every year. You guys, this is Genesis 2 happening right now, right? Like I'm walking my mom to the front. I gave her a hug. I shook my dad's hand. I walked them to the front and I you know, escort them down. And then I turn to leave and I go, it just happened. Like, for a man shall leave his father and his mother. Like, that was it. That was it. I'm leaving my father and my mother. Oh, no. Like, there had to be a breaking off if I was going to become one in a new covenant. There had to be a breaking off. You know, I'm not going to get married and still be a bachelor. I'm not going to. There's a switch that happens, right? You show the next picture. This is us. This is the new covenant happening. Broke off from the old, come into the new. We have some vows, right? Saying things like, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. Like, no matter the circumstances, no matter the emotions, no matter what kind of day we've been having this week, like, I'm yours and you're mine. Everything that's mine is yours. Everything that's yours is mine. That's covenant, right? Till death do us part. Covenant, defined, is a promised relationship that is only broken by death. Someone needs to die. I'm not leaving this woman. Sorry. This is the most beautiful woman these eyes have ever seen. I'm not leaving this woman. You crazy? No. We get to live together for the rest of our lives. You hit that last picture. This is us walking out of the wedding. And it's just one of my favorite pictures ever. Like, that's so romantic, you guys. Look at the, just the green and the white. And the you guys, the wedding, the ceremony ends, and then the marriage starts. You get to live together now, right? I gotta take down all the decorations that I thought were really cool so my wife can put up the things that actually look good in her house because there's a lifestyle change, you know? Like, it's different now. Now that I have a new covenant, it's a whole new life. It's a whole new way of thinking. It's a whole new world. Like, oh, I love marriage. You guys would recommend. It's so, yeah. If you're not married in this place, but you're like, huh, maybe marriage is cool. God invented marriage. Like, marriage is a pretty big deal. I love marriage. But coming back to the scripture here, the only bummer is the marriage that Paul is talking about is marriage under the law. And it's actually a really toxic relationship. Right? Like, it only produces death, as it says in this chapter. Like, marriage under the law, like this old covenant that we got from Moses, these 613 laws that you have to follow to be good enough for God to like you, is really toxic. It's a real bummer, you guys. You gotta realize the law is not evil. You know, it's just not for us. Like, you can hit that next slide. It's, the law is not a bad guy. He's just a bad spouse, you know? The law is good, but it actually stirs up sinful passions in us that lead to death. It's bad. It's malo. You want to get out of that. I'm going to go through a couple of what life is like under the law. You can hit that chart there. Under the law, you are condemned. 2 Corinthians 3:9 actually calls it the ministry of condemnation. It is designed to show you how bad of a person you are, how low your value is, and how you could never actually be good enough for God to be in covenant with you. Like, you're never gonna earn it. It's really like a kick you while you're down kind of law. Like, it's toxic. It's not something you want to be in. Don't. Don't, you guys. It's based on my performance. It's all about, like, if I do good enough, then I will be good enough, and then God will love me, and then I get to have eternal life. It's transactional. It's fighting for myself. It's me keeping number one. Like, everything is about me. I need to work, you know? It's hopeless because my work is never actually going to be good enough. I don't know if you heard this before, but every other religion in the world is based off of my performance. Like Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, even just humanism, like American culture thinking, like, I just need to do enough good to outweigh the bad. And then I'll get rewarded at the end. That's old covenant thinking. And people go around and say, like, every religion is the same. No, actually, all but one. All but one are the same. Ours is different. Every other religion is stressful. It's about how much work you can do. That's a lot of work, you guys. Can I do a little more so God likes me more? Under the old covenant? Sure. It's life-stealing, and it produces fruit for death. That sounds kind of toxic. I'm no therapist, but I'd tell you to get out of that relationship if I were you. You guys, it's not good. I'm gonna bring it back to the scripture here to expound the plot a little bit. This is verse 3. So then, if she, the married woman, right, has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Paul is pointing out the fact like, hey, you can't have two husbands. Like, there are no sexual relations with this one and that one. It's actually one or the other. I can't be a bachelor and a husband. It's not both and. You need to break off from one. There needs to be a death that occurs. Well, the law's not going anywhere. The law's not gonna die. Dang it. Am I gonna die? I don't wanna die. Like, how do you get out of the old covenant? Under the old covenant, the priests in Israel would sacrifice animals, and that would atone for their sins temporarily until they sinned again, right? It would cover up their sins, and they would sprinkle the blood on the, you know, there's all these things that they would do, and that was the death. But Hebrews says that the blood of bulls and goats was never pure enough to remove sins, only cover them up, right? There was a perfect sacrifice that came later. Let's read about it in verse 4 right here. You guys are so good. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died. There's the death. It's right there. See it? That's the word. You died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Guys, that's the punchline right there. That's the good news. You guys, it talks about the body of Christ. Realize when we take communion up here, we are remembering the death and the purchase that Jesus made, the new covenant that happened, right? He broke his body that we'd be broke off from the old covenant. And in this body, they have those little wafers, you know, those little circles, little crispy ones. I like to break it before I eat it as an additional reminder, like, yeah, there was a breaking off that happened. I'm not under the old. Praise the Lord. That's some good news. No more toxic relationship for me. Can I get an amen? You guys, amen. Come on, the left side is awake. Well, I guess the right side for you, but you guys, we're gonna answer the question from the very beginning. Who is the better spouse? It's a no-brainer, come on. Christ is the better spouse. Toxic relationship versus a life-giving relationship? Don't joke. One is easily better. One is easily better. You guys, I'm gonna go through that chart again, filled out this time. This is everything we have, right? The law condemns and Christ actually perfects. He actually says, I have a new identity for you. You're gonna change. You're gonna be different. You will be a new creation. You will be the righteousness of God because of what I did on the cross. It's based on Jesus's performance. How humanity could never perform good enough, so God came down to be humanity and fulfill our end of the deal. And now it is based on his performance, and it's perfect. That's some really good news. That's how it worked. That was the mechanics of it, right? There was a covenant that had to be made. There was a sacrifice for humanity that had to be cut, that had to be killed. And God decided, he was like, Father, send me. Like, I'll go down. I'll leave the throne in heaven, come down and be a human, get born in a barn, live up as a carpenter, and decide to die because I love them. Like, let me go down. Let me be the sacrifice. Jesus is really loving and selfless and gracious. Grace meaning something good that we did not earn, but he gave it anyways because that's just who he is. He's really good. He's amazing. You guys, it's life-giving under Christ, this new covenant that we have. It produces fruit for God and not death. That's where Paul's gonna take it back in the sermon. He says in the scripture, he says that we might bear fruit for God. That's the end of verse 4. Now verse 5 here. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, words past tense, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us so that we bore fruit for death. Old covenant. Page turn. But now, this side of the cross, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Oh. Finally. We have a new way of the Spirit to serve in. We don't have to serve under the old way of the written code. It's not like living with the old spouse anymore. You're not in their house anymore. You left. That's not your address. That's not your last name anymore. There's a new covenant that you're under. There's some really good news, you guys. So if you're under the new covenant and you're living with your new spouse, are you gonna go back and live with your ex? Like this toxic relationship that you used to have? Are you gonna let those, like that mindset, that lifestyle that used to be your identity come back and like fill your mind again? Like, no, please don't do that. Don't do that. You guys, there is a temptation. There are thoughts that cross your mind, old covenant thoughts that need to be weeded out of the garden, right? Things like, man, I just didn't do very well this week. I'm really trying to kick the porn, just couldn't do it this week. I bet God doesn't want to talk to me. I probably shouldn't go on Sunday morning. Man, just couldn't kick it. Couldn't kick it this week. Probably shouldn't even pray. Am I even saved? I don't know. Under the old covenant, that mindset makes total sense. Under the new covenant, that's ridiculous. Don't live with your ex. Don't think that way. That's not true about you. Don't live with your ex. Please. Things like, man, I didn't read my Bible every day. Like, I gotta get right with God. I gotta get right with God. I must not be right with God because my performance was poor this week. Like, it's based on my performance. If you're living with your ex, sure. Don't do that. It's not based on your performance. It's based on his performance. You have a new spouse. You're broken off from the old covenant. Don't think those thoughts anymore. Don't live that way anymore. There's a new life for you. It's a life-giving covenant that you're under. There's a new way to live, a new way to think, a new way to be. The gospel changes everything. Everything. It's a completely different life. It's crazy. If you're sitting in this room and you're like, man, that sounds really nice. It sounds really nice to be under the new covenant. You know, Grant, you're kind of right. I do feel kind of hopeless, like unneededly stressed out. Like there's just no future for me. It's very simple to enter the new covenant. It's very simple. The price has been paid. Now it is up to you to say yes. You say yes to the invitation of Jesus, who paid everything, right, to be one with you. And all you have to do is say, yeah, I do want to be one with you. Lord, I do want to bind myself to you. I do want to live your way. I want to live with you. I don't want to live with my ex anymore. I don't want to live with my old spouse. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to be that way. I want to be a new creation based on a new covenant. Covenant, identity, behavior, like new lifestyle. I want to live that way now. He's waiting for you. This is very simple. It's not easy to change your whole lifestyle, but it's very straightforward. It's very simple. And it's a better life. It's a better life to live God's way, to live with your new spouse. You guys, Pastor Matt's going to come up in a minute. He's going to look at, there's a card you're going to look at. He's going to give the benediction. There's some offering buckets we're going to pass. And on the back of that card, it says, did you say yes to Jesus? And that box isn't there so that if you check it, we feel good about ourselves. That box is there because if you become part of our family, we'd love to know. Like, that's how family works. Like, oh, we're family. You should have told me. Like, bro. That's how family works. I'm going to pray us out, you guys. Father, you are so good. There is nothing better than you. There is no lifestyle better than your lifestyle. There is no covenant better than your covenant. And we submit ourselves to you again. We get under the same mission. That's what submit means. We get under your mission again. We choose to bind ourselves to you again. We love you. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the high price for covenant that we could be one with God as we were designed to be. Amen. Thanks, man.